Good evening. So it's great to be with you this evening, and thank you very much for the invitation to come and bring God's word to you this evening. I'm Robert, and Hayden and Elaine's, well, mum and dad, and their eldest son. Some would say the most handsome as well.
Absolutely.
We're just here for the week for half term, just visiting them. So yeah, it's really great to be here to visit with you again. I love that song that we sang, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. It's a fantastic song to sing. His presence, His glory, His power is here in this place. And there's nothing like being in the presence of God, is there? It's just a wonderful thing. You know, in our house group back in Rhyl on Tuesday, we just moved on to the book of Acts, and we were looking at Acts chapter 1 and 2, talking about God's presence coming to us in the through the form of the Holy Spirit, and how now we carry the presence of God with us. But we were all saying how that's great that we get that, but it's just something special about coming together as a group of believers and being in that presence of God. And I don't know about you, but during the lockdown, I missed it. Being together in a church and being there in the presence of God together is such a wonderful thing. But anyway, let me get to what I want to share on this evening. The title of my message this evening is Knowing Jesus. And we've had the story read out to us, and it's such a wonderful story to read of one of Jesus' miracles and how he transformed this blind man's life. And I've just drawn 3 points from that this evening, and just like to compare them to our own experiences with Jesus, because when I read the passage, we see 3 things taking place so that this blind beggar, things that happened in his life. We see that first of all, he heard Jesus. Secondly, he called out to Jesus. And thirdly, he followed Jesus. And as we look at these points together, we'll see how we, as believers, went through that same experience to become followers of Jesus today. In the passage that we read, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and it was common back then for people to walk along with the rabbis, the teachers, as they were heading to those places, as they wanted to be in their presence. They wanted to be there listening to them, teaching them on the way to the Passover feast. And it was common for beggars to line the walkways, asking for people for money as they went by. And it was common for people to line the streets. People who couldn't make it to the Passover festival themselves, they would stand there at the side of the roads and they would watch as these people walked by. And that's what we find is happening here in this passage that we have read. So the first thing we see is that the beggar, he heard Jesus. In verse 38, the beggar calls out, Jesus, Son of David. When he's saying Son of David, he's making a bold statement, because he's saying that he recognizes who Jesus is. To call Jesus Son of David, he was basically calling Jesus the Messiah. And so he's confirming, he's stating his demonstration of faith in addressing Jesus in that way. And it shows us that this blind man knew who Jesus was. And if you can imagine this blind man, he probably would have sat in that same spot every day, just begging, trying to get enough to keep going in life. But you can imagine that as he sat there day by day, people would maybe just walk past, or maybe even talk to him about this man called Jesus. Hearing about what Jesus has been doing, the miracles that he's been performing, how he's such a great teacher. And you can imagine that he would have sat there thinking to himself as he heard these stories, if only Jesus would come past me. If only he would come this way. And that's what happened for him. And so upon hearing that Jesus was coming, he seized his opportunity. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus could do for him. And so he wanted Jesus to change his life. And we, like this blind man, we once heard Jesus. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, and I grew up going to church. I went to Sunday school, and so I grew up and I heard stories about Jesus. I heard about him. I heard what he did. I took part in many nativity plays. I heard the stories of Jesus, and I'd heard them, but you know, as a child, I didn't fully understand who Jesus was. And then one evening in August, back in 1997, at the Apostolic Church's convention, I heard Jesus, and it clicked into place. I heard what Jesus had done for me. I heard the gospel message, and I realized what I needed to do. We were once blind. We were once blind. We didn't know Jesus. We hadn't heard of him. We were unaware of what he's done for us until that day, when it finally clicked into place for us, when we heard that gospel message of what Jesus had done for us. And when we hear what Jesus has done for us, it does something within us. There's a need. There's something within us that says you need to respond to this. That you need to do this. You need to call out to Jesus. And that's exactly what this blind man did. And so the second thing we see, he called out to Jesus. You know, this blind man, he would have been seen as rubbish, not worth anything. And that's why he was held back by the people. They thought, Jesus doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Sit back down. Get back in your spot. He calls out to Jesus two times. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, when we read it, we read it, but you know, what we have to understand is that this man was desperate. You know, when he's calling Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, he's not just doing it half-heartedly. This is from his, you know, it's a gut-wrenching cry to Jesus, because he knows what Jesus can do for him. He knows that Jesus has the ability to transform his life. And he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus to come and to minister to him. You know, he had no life, this man, just begging every day for anything that he could to get by. Just having an encounter with Jesus would transform his life in such a way that he'd be able to go out and to get to work, to be able to earn, and to have a normal life, as it were. He wouldn't have to sit on that street day by day, calling out and asking for food and money, whatever he needed to get by. And we once called out to Jesus. We were in that place where we heard what Jesus had done for us, and we needed to respond and to call out to him. And like I say, for me, it was back in August 97. I heard what Jesus had done for me, how he'd offered his life on the cross for me, so that I can be forgiven and have a relationship with God. And I knew what I needed to do, and that evening I responded. I called out to Jesus. I acknowledged what he had done for me. I asked him for that forgiveness, and I invited him into my life. I called out to him. And this man, he was held back from calling out. People tried to stop him. And as I thought about that, you know, there are times when people may want to respond to Jesus, but there are things that hold them back. And just a few passages just to look at. First of all, people can think that they can't be forgiven. You know, there are people that think, I've done terrible things. God doesn't want to forgive me. Well, that's not the case. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It tells us he will forgive our sins. And that's fantastic for us, isn't it? To know that no matter what we may have done, Jesus still says, I forgive you. I forgive you. He doesn't turn away from us. That's the wonderful thing about God. He is always there. He loves us so much that he will always forgive us. And it just reminds me of that song, which I'm sure you all know, which we used to sing in Sunday school. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. It's so high you can't get over it. It's so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. And that's the love that we know with Jesus. And that doesn't matter what we may have done in our past, he is still willing to forgive. Secondly, people can be angry with God. People can blame God for all sorts of things, and they're not interested. And you know, we read in, it's not one we'll turn to, but if you want to in another time, it's Psalm 22. And in the first six verses, what we read there is that David is very angry with God. He's angry and he tells God he's angry and he vents his anger towards him. But in verses 22 to 31, that anger has been turned into praise as David realizes that he needs to trust God. And you know, there will be things in life, even as believers, we'll get angry with God. But the thing is that we ultimately come before him and say, God, I may be angry about this, but I put my trust in you. I give it to you. And we trust that God will work his will. And then just thirdly, people can find it hard to realize that God loves them. You know, there are people in the world who have a very, very, what's the word I'm trying to use? They've had very bad upbringings. You know, they've had very bad times, and they can find it hard to realize that there is a God out there that loves them. You know, and that's an awful thing. But Jeremiah 29 verse 11, a verse that's well known to us all, I'm sure, just says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." It doesn't matter what things may have happened to us in the past. There is a God out there who loves us. And he loves us so much that he has a plan and a purpose for us. None of us are worthless in the eyes of God. And that's a wonderful thing, that God loves us and he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And those are just some things that can hold people back from turning to God. And ultimately they're from the devil. He doesn't want anybody to come to Jesus. And he will do all he can to hold people back. But trusting God is the way through. God will always hear our prayers, and we may not think it at times, but God is working in everything within our lives. Every moment, everything that we experience, God is there and he is working. It's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with God. You know, I'd be lost without him. When I look back through my life, you know, things I've been through, if I didn't have God in my life, I don't know how I would have coped. But having a relationship with God is a wonderful thing. So the third thing that we see is that this blind man, he follows Jesus. Jesus tells this man, "Your faith has healed you." And this blind man, who recognized who Jesus was, he had heard what Jesus can do for him. He had not seen Jesus do the things himself. There were just stories that he'd heard about what Jesus had done, and in his mind he'd realized who Jesus was. And so he demonstrated his faith on that day, and he called out to Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. And we read, as Ian said, "For as upon receiving the healing that he immediately began to praise God." It was an instant reaction for him, and of course it was. His life's been transformed. He could suddenly see. His life was changed. He didn't need to sit on the side in the street anymore. And he gets up and he just begins praising God, and other people praise God as well when they saw what Jesus had done for this man. It was a witness to other people around. You know, when Jesus performed that miracle, there were people there who wouldn't have known who Jesus was. And seeing what Jesus had done for them was a witness to them. And no doubt, I mean, we don't read it, but there were probably others that became followers of Jesus that day as they saw what Jesus had done for this man. And just like this man, we followed Jesus. Like this blind man, we didn't see Jesus do the miracles that he did. We didn't see Jesus physically die on the cross, but we believe because we have heard about God's love for us, and we have faith in who Jesus is. We believe that God sent Jesus to die for us, and we're thankful for that. And so we've demonstrated our faith on that day, that we called out to Jesus and we asked him for his forgiveness, and we became followers of him from that moment forwards. When I became a Christian, the same evening my brother Stephen did as well, and I remember we went from that meeting, we went back to our caravan and we told Mum and Dad about what had happened. And you know, when we went back to our own church then the following Sunday, I remember the pastor, he stood up from the front and he said, it was a good convention this year, but it was an even better convention for Robert and Stephen, who gave their lives to Jesus. And you know, people turned around to us and they congratulated us. They said, well done, you know, because it was an encouragement to them. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when you hear that somebody has given their life to Jesus. It just does something within us as a believer. It makes us so joyful as we know that somebody else has become a brother or sister in Christ. And, you know, I remember the moment my cousin Sean gave his life to Jesus. And I was at the same meeting that he was at, and he was coming. He'd been to the front for prayer and he came back just sobbing. And he just ran up to me and hugged me and he was just sobbing. But, you know, I was so joyful when he told me what he had done. And it's such a wonderful thing when somebody tells you they've become a Christian, or somebody responds in a meeting. It just thrills our hearts to know that somebody has come to know Jesus. It's a wonderful thing and it encourages us. It blesses us, and it's such a great thing to be a follower of Jesus. And so just three simple points this evening. This man, he heard Jesus, he called out to Jesus, and he followed Jesus. And I'm so thankful this evening, and as I'm sure you are, for that day when we called out to Jesus, when we heard what he had done for us, and we called out and asked him for his forgiveness, and he gave us that forgiveness straight away, and we're now followers of Jesus, gathered together in his presence this evening, praising him, giving him thanks for what he has done for us. Amen.